So in the previous class, we discussed the hidden miracles in the Megillah. Today, let's discuss the concept of Nes Nister and Purim in general. Purim is the Yom Tov of Nes Nister, and everything fits. Literally, everything fits together regarding Purim and Nes Nister. So number one, just by way of introduction, Nes Nister means as follows. When you read the Megillah, in the simple shot of the Megillah, there are no overt supernatural events in the Megillah. Each event in the Megillah is like another, you know, article in the newspaper. Page one, page six, nothing so exciting. But all the events in the Megillah fit together perfectly, as we discussed in the previous class, to save Am Yisrael. That's the concept of Nes Nister. Nothing supernatural happening. Each event on its own is not so exciting, but it all fits together perfectly to save Am Yisrael. Well, also, we discussed Nes Nister. When things get turned around, ironic things happen. That's also part of the Nes Nister as well. In the Megillah, there's not one supernatural event. That's why the Rishonim say, the Eshkol is one of the Rishonim, the Eshkol, and the Eshkol writes that is why Hashem's name is not found in the Megillah. Because the whole point of the Megillah is, even when you don't see Hashem, Hashem's there behind the scenes, running the show from behind the scenes. Where is Hashem in the Megillah? He's in between the lines. And that's the dafka why we don't find Hashem's name in the Megillah. We discussed, the Gemara says, where is there a hint? Where is there a hint for Esther in the Torah? The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Ramites, says, the Pasuk Anochi Haster Astir, I will hide myself. So when it fits beautifully. When the Gemara gives a source for Esther in the Chumash, the Pasuk is a Pasuk where Hashem is hiding himself. Exactly. That's Purim. That's Nes Nister. Even though Hashem is hidden, he is still there running the show. That fits as well. The name Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther. So this they quote from the Gra. This is another fabulous quote. Megillas Esther, the Gra points out, has the words in it, Megale Seser. To reveal, this is very nice, that which is hidden. When you read the Megillah, you want to reveal Hashem's hidden role in Purim, in the Megillah. That's what the Megillah is all about. Point number four, the Gra points out in his Perush on the Megillah at the very beginning that Purim happens in Chutz Laaretz, in contrast to Hanukkah, which happens in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gra says that's why on Hanukkah there was a Nes Nigla, the Nes of the Pach Shemen. But on Purim there wasn't, because in Chutz Laaretz, Hashem's Shechina rests less powerfully in Chutz Laaretz, so there's no Nes Nigla in Chutz Laaretz. Where do you find Nes Nigla? In Eretz Yisrael, in the Beis HaMikdash, but not in Chutz Laaretz. And that's why Purim happens in Chutz Laaretz. Now there's an exception. When Am Yisrael was formed as a nation, Mitzrayim, the Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, the Mon and the Midbar, that was all Nes Nigla. So the Mefarshim explain that was an exception. When Hashem created us as a nation, B'derech Nes Nigla, and then we have to show that He runs the show, that He's there, and then, based on the Nes Nigla, we have to appreciate Hashem in Nes Nister as well. But once we get to Eretz Yisrael, the only time you find Nes Nigla is where? In Eretz Yisrael, in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we discussed in the previous class, what was the night of the main Nes Nister in the Megillah? The night between the two parties. What was the date? What was the calendar date, according to most of the Mefarshim? Lel Tezayin Nisan. That was the date. Most Mefarshim assume that the three-day fast was Yud Gimel Yud Dalet Tezvav. The first party was on Tezvav. The second party was Tezayin. So the night when the king couldn't sleep, when the major Nes Nister happens, was when? The night of Lel Tezayin Nisan. What is Lel Tezayin Nisan? The second night of Pesach. When you live in Chutz Laaretz, when do you feel the most, halachically, that you're in Chutz Laaretz? Second day Yom Tov. You're having the Seder, you're making brachas. The Torah says Yom Tov was last night. Oh, I'm in Chutz Laaretz. I'm in Galus. I keep 2 days of Yom Tov. So this is in Rav David Feinstein Shlita's Perush on the Megillah called the Kol Dodi. This is fabulous. He writes, based on building on the Gra, what night of the year does the major nes nister of the Megillah happen? The night when the Jews felt like they're in chutz laretz. You're having a second Seder. You're making brachos on the matzah, another kiddush. Why are you doing that? Because you're in chutz laretz. Oh, chutz laretz. We're further from Hashem. Hashem is hidden. Yeah, and when Hashem is hidden, even though He's hidden, He's still there. So it fits. It doesn't fit well. It fits perfectly that the main nes nister in the Megillah happens when? The night of the year when we feel like we're in chutz laretz, the second night of the second Seder. That is a very deep vort, very deep, from Rav David Feinstein. Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav added on, that when did the miracle happen? At night. Night is always a symbol of galus, a symbol when things are hard for us. Hashem seems further away at night. Tafke at night, which is a symbol of galus, that is when the main nes nister of the Megillah happens. Exactly. Even when you don't see Hashem, even when it's quote-unquote nighttime and you're in galus, Hashem is always there running the show. That's quoted. My Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita has several Sfarim where he quotes Rav Soloveitchik's approaches to things. They're called Nefesh HaRav, Pnini HaRav, and Divrei HaRav. So he has a whole section in Pnini HaRav towards the end about Purim, and that's where he quotes this. It's on page 366. Next! Guys, everything fits. Every detail of Purim fits into the idea of Nes Nister. Literally, everyone. Okay. Kimu v'kibu. On Purim, where there was a national rededication to the Torah on Purim, that's the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Peches. Kimu v'kibu. That's the Gemara. That's what the Megillah says. The Gemara says that they reaccepted Kimu, Masha Kibu Kfar. They reaccepted that which they had accepted already. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. Now, wait a second. This is the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches. What does the Gemara say? That when Hashem gave us the Torah originally, Hashem, in a sense, forced it upon us. What does the Gemara say? Kafa aleim har kegigis. That's a famous phrase. You have to know that phrase. Kafa aleim har kegigis. Hashem covered. Hashem took the mountain and put it over us. Kafa put it over us like a barrel. And Hashem said, accept the Torah or else. So we accepted the Torah. So therefore, the Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Peches that the original Matan Torah, Bishas, the Aseret HaDibros, was somewhat deficient. It was missing something. It was forced upon us. When was that deficiency rectified, the Gemara says? Purim time, where there was a national rededication to the Torah, Meiratzon. That's the famous Gemara. Okay, all of you have a kasha on that Gemara. What's your kasha on that Gemara? What's your kasha on that Gemara? Yes? Nasa v'nishma, excellent kasha. That's the kasha on the Gemara. Nasa v'nishma, what's the kasha? How can the Gemara say that Hashem forced the Torah upon us? Doesn't it say in the Torah, Nasa v'nishma, we accepted it willingly? That's an excellent kasha. There are lots of answers to that kasha. So the answer, which many Mefarshim say, Rabbi Soloveitchik quoted this answer all the time, is as follows. If you look in the Medrash Tanhuma, at the end of Parshas Noach, it says, it's a long Medrash. The Medrash Tanhuma says that Nasa v'nishma went for Torah Shebichsav. So Nasa v'nishma goes on Torah Shebichsav. That's easy. But Torah Shebal Peh, there's so much, it's so much to learn, it's so much harder, that Hashem forced upon us. That's what it says in the Medrash. Which means that on Purim, when we had this national rededication to the Torah, and we rectified the missing part of the original Matan Torah, what was the focus on Purim? Torah Shebal Peh. So Purim is the Yom Tov of Torah Shebal Peh. So the Kedusha Slevi, Rav Yitzhak Egin Raditchev writes, yeah, Torah Shebal Peh is the Torah that's hidden within the Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav, you read it, it's right there. Torah Shebal Peh, what's between the lines? What do the words mean? What is the extra? This is fabulous. That's in the Kedusha Salevi and the Chumash, that it fits perfectly, that the Kimu V'Kibu of Purim was Torah Shebal Peh, because Torah Shebal Peh is the hidden Torah inside the Torah Shebichsav. By Purim, literally everything fits. Then there's a Sfas Emes. This is a whole big topic. The Sfas Emes in the year Tafrei Shalamed Ches. So the Sfas Emes has a theme, and many Sfarim have this theme, that Bayis Rishon was Torah Shebichsav, and Bayis Sheni was Torah Shebal Peh. What that means is that if you look in the Gemara, many of the Dinim Derabbanan and the Gzeiros and the Takanos that we have nowadays were developed as Mount Bayis Sheni. So there was always Torah Shebal Peh, but Bayis Rishon, the emphasis was Torah Shebichsav. The Sfas Emes writes this, and Bayis Sheni was Torah Shebal Peh. So it fits perfectly that Purim led right into Bayis Sheni, Torah Shebal Peh. That fits together. Purim, Kima B'Kibru, Torah Shebal Peh, the hidden Torah. Next, number six, costumes. There is a minhag to wear costumes on Purim, masks and costumes. That's what the Rama quotes that minhag in Siman Taf Reish Sadivav. So the Achronim say that one shot in the minhag is exactly when there's a costume, the real you is behind the mask. The mask isn't the real thing. The real you is behind the mask. You read the Megillah. It looks like it's a story. Nothing special. No, that's the mask. Under the Megillah, under the words of the Megillah, what is there? Hashem is there. This is a beautiful shot. Hashem's running the show. So the minhag of wearing costumes fits perfectly into the idea that Purim is the Yom Tov of Nes Nister, because we're trying to show that behind the mask is the real thing. Behind the superficial, not-so-exciting storyline of the Megillah is one big nace. Hashem is running the show. That's quoted. There's a Sefer. There was a great Rav. His name was Rav Chanoch Karelenstein. Zatzal. He was a Rebbe in Heichal HaTorah. That's Rav Tzvika Shulevsky Shlita's Yeshiva. Okay. So Rahman Lolenu, he died relatively young. He wrote the best Svarim on the Yom Tovim and Hashkafa. They're called Kuntris. Kuntris to every Yom Tov. He combines, you know, the new Kol Torah Kula, Shas Rishonim, all the Mefarshim on the Chumash, all the Chassidish Svarim, and all the Kabbalah things. And he puts it all together. It's fabulous. All right, whatever. My brother-in-law introduced me to it, and I'm very thankful. Anyway, so in his book on Purim, on page Kuf Gimel, he quotes that. Kreplach! There is an old custom to eat kreplach on Purim. There's several reasons. This is one of the reasons. Kreplach, the meat, is hidden inside the dough. And the Rishonim say this. The late Rishonim say this. That's why you eat kreplach, because the meat is hidden inside the dough. That reflects Nes Nister. Hamantashen. There are many sources, reasons for the meaning of Hamantashen. One reason is that the name Haman Tash, Haman is Haman, Tash means to get weak in Hebrew. So Haman got weaker. Haman Tash, anyway. So some say that Haman Tash as well, the good stuff, is hidden inside the dough, and that's another angle on Haman Tash, similar to Kreplach. But Haman Tash has other reasons. That's not really the main reason, but that approach happens to fit as well. Let us continue. Next. Kimu v'kibru miratzon. This is absolutely fabulous. It says that on Purim, the rededication was miratzon, was besimcha, right? That on Matan Torah was forced upon us, and now we're makabla miratzon. So what's the idea? So there's a famous word you should know. It's in the Meshech Chochma, in Shmos Perek Yates. And also the Maharal writes this in the Sefer Or Chadash. This is amazing. Both of them say that as follows. When Hashem gave us the Torah, He didn't literally force it upon us. He didn't say, here's the mountain and I'm going to smash you with the mountain. Rather, there were so many miracles, Bizmat Matan Torah. The Kriyas Yamsuf and the Makos. And you heard Hashem speak. We all heard, whatever that means, we all heard Hashem speak. The miracles were so awesome, Bizman Matan Torah, that basically it was impossible to say no. How can you say no? That's the pshat that it was forced upon us. But on Purim, when it was Nes Nister, when it was hidden miracles, there a cynic could say, no, it's not miraculous. We had to choose to find, to see the miracles. And that's the pshat of kiblu meiratzo. That it was, that's what they say, it was a higher level. At Matan Torah, it was forced upon us. The Neis Nigla, you couldn't say no. On Purim, when it was Neis Nister, then we had to choose to find the Neis Nister, to notice it, and that's the pshat that on Purim, we were makabel the Torah meiratzo. That's a fabulous word. Next, number 9. This year is a leap year. There are two Adars. Which Adar do we celebrate Purim in? So we celebrate Adar Sheni. Why do we conclude in the Gemara Adar Sheni? The Gemara says, because kedei lismoch geula legeula, to connect the geula of Purim to the geula of Pesach. In other words, the Gemara says there's some idea we want to link up Purim and Pesach, so we want to have Purim close to Pesach. So if Purim was an Adar Rishon, it's 2 months till Pesach. If Purim is an Adar Sheni, it's the normal 1 month till Pesach. Why is it so important to link up Purim to Pesach? So Rav Nevin Sal Shlita writes, beautiful pshat, pasha pshat. He writes because of Neis Nister. You see, Neis Nister, again, if you're cynical, you can deny Neis Nister. No, it was all coincidence. You can't deny Neis Nigla. You can't deny Pesach. It's all Neis Nigla. So we have to put the two Purim Pesach together. So when you think about the Neis, when you think about the upcoming Neis Nigla of Pesach, that opens your eyes to recognize that Purim is a Neis from Hashem as well. You want them linked up together. That people should realize you should celebrate Purim knowing that Pesach is coming soon. Pesach is Neis Nigla. Hashem totally controls nature, totally changes nature. And therefore, I should recognize that all of Teva, all of coincidental events, are really a Neis Nister from Hashem. That word of Rav Nevensol blends in well with the famous Ramban in Parshas Bo. The Ramban says that from the Neis Niglas, I appreciate that all of Teva is one big Neis Nister from Hashem. We discussed that earlier, that the gematria of HaTeva is 86, and that's the gematria of Elokim, remember the Kuf and the Hay, 86. So Rav Nevensol took the idea of that Ramban and said, that's the pshat in the Gemara. We want to have Purim near Pesach, so the Neis Nigla of the upcoming Pesach colors and shapes our experience on Purim, that it's all a big Neis Nister from Hashem. Next, number 10. There is no halal on Purim. Why not? The Gemara asked that question. And the famous answer the Gemara gives is, Kriyasa Zuhilula. Kriyasa Zuhilula. Which means literally, its reading is the halal. The reading of the Megillah replaces the halal. That's what the Gemara says. That on Purim, you don't say the real halal. You have the Megillah reading instead. That's what the Gemara says. You with me? The reading of the Megillah is the halal of Purim. What is halal? What do you do in halal? You praise Hashem. So therefore, the Megillah reading is praising Hashem. How so? When you read the Megillah, you are praising Hashem. But think about it. You're not praising Hashem in an overt way. Hashem, you're great. How do you praise Hashem in the Megillah? By reading the Megillah, and you know the story, so sort of internally, the Megillah reading becomes a praise of Hashem. I never say the words, Hashem, you're great, when I read them. I don't say Hashem's name in the Megillah. But the Megillah reading becomes a roundabout praise of Hashem. Exactly. This is Rav Putner. Rav Putner at the end of Pachad Yitzchak on Purim says this. I just saw recently. Rav Schechter quotes this from the Rav as well. This is perfect. The Chazal established that the way we praise Hashem on Purim should correspond to the, pardon the pun, nature of the miracle. On the regular Yom Tovim, when the miracles were Neis Nigla, we say Hallel to Hashem, you're great. Direct, overt praise of Hashem. On Purim, when the miracles seemed to be more natural, the miracles were more hidden, how do you praise Hashem? In a more hidden way. It's a hidden Hallel. It is Hallel. But it's only hollow because of what you know and you think. So you know that reading the Megillah is praising Hashem. But it's not direct praise of Hashem. It's a muted, hidden praise of Hashem. It's a very deep idea. That's the pshat that Hallel is the Megillah is the Hallel of Purim. Let's go on. Next, number 11, Mishneh v'Simcha. This is fabulous. On Purim, we have a physical celebration. We eat and we drink. The Sfasemis writes, since the miracle was within Teva, so Chazal established a special Yom Tov of what? Celebrating physically within the Teva. Bring Ruchnius in, this is nice, into the Teva. As opposed to, let's say, on Hanukkah, when the miracle was more B'derech Neis Nigla. On Purim, the whole miracle was Neis Nister. It was a miracle within Teva. So the Sasemis writes, therefore, Chazal said, bring Ruchnius, bring Kedusha into the Teva. Eat and drink in the right way, Ruchnius. So that's why there's a special emphasis of Gashmias on Purim, because we want to be Mekadesh, the physical world, because the whole essence of the Megillah was showing that there is a Nes and Kedusha within things that appear to be natural. Let us continue. The Megillah refers to itself as an Igeris, a letter. And the Gemara talks about this, that it's a letter. It has halachic ramifications. Why is it called a letter as opposed to a sefer? It's called a letter. So there are several points here. Number one, a letter means you write a letter to someone. You write your friend an email. When you write someone an email, you don't put in not every fact in the email is the most important thing in the world. You write a letter to someone. You read it, you throw it away. So the Mefarshim say, that's the Megillah. You read the Megillah. Reads like a letter. That's the whole point. Even though it reads like a letter, and it doesn't seem like it's so important, it's that even every detail of this letter, quote unquote, has significance. Here's the mashal they give. Imagine you're learning in Yeshiva and Panovich, and they run in and say, Vashti was killed. So what would the reaction be? So in the previous class, somebody said, oh, who's Vashti? Okay, so that's it. The boys are very stark. Who's Vashti? Okay, yeah, So a stark was who's Vashti? But what would the average guy say? Who cares? Vashti's killed. What are you bothering me with? I'm trying to learn now. But that totally insignificant event that Vashti's dead, that saved Am Yisrael. That's why it's called an Igeret. It's a letter. You read a letter. You read a newspaper article. Nothing special. No, everything is special. You got it? It's very nice. Igeret means, superficially, it's not so exciting. It's a letter. Stop bothering me with this bittul Torah and wasting my time. No. It's very important. Hashem's running the world, and every detail fits in. That mashal, that's also in this Kuntos of Rav Karelenstein, page Kuf Aleph. Menachem Begin, Olav HaShalom, was one of the prime ministers in Israel. He was the most traditional of the Israeli prime. He's the most religious of the Israeli prime ministers. So when he visited America, the Gedolim liked him because he had a lot of respect for the rabbinic leadership. When he came to America in the 1970s for the Camp David agreements he made with Sadat, so he visited Rav Soloveitchik, he visited the Lubavitcher Rebbe and Moshe Feinstein to discuss with them about what's going to be happening. Anyway, so once he was meeting with the Gedolim and he was complaining of heart trouble. His heart was bothering him. So there's a phrase in the Gemara, Lev Melachim Biyad Hashem. The hearts of kings are in Hashem's hands. That means Hashem governs what kings do. So Rav Kamenetsky, Zatzal, said to Menachem Begin, don't worry about your heart. Lev Melachim Biyad Hashem. Your heart's in Hashem's hands. And Begin appreciated that a lot. And Rav Yaakov appreciated that Begin appreciated it. That was nice. That he appreciated that little play on words. Okay, anyway. So now, next. The Magen Avraham quotes a custom to take only very short breaks between the Psukim and the Megillah. Kedei Neshima. If you notice, when people read the Megillah, in the Megillah reading, the minhag is to have very short breaks in between. It's from the Magen Avraham. Why? This is the reason why. The whole point of the Megillah is every fact from the beginning to the middle to the end all fits together. So it's one unit. To show that it's one unit, you only have very short breaks in between the psukim. Each fact links up to the next fact. And that's why the Megillah is read that way. That's a very nice idea. when you read the Megillah, the minhag is, because it's an Igaret, you unfold the whole Megillah first. Like when you read the Torah, there's a scroll, like a scroll like this. The Megillah, you open up the whole Megillah, and it's folded over. You ever notice that? That's how they read the Megillah. Why do they do it? The whole Megillah is open before they start. I heard from Rav Sachs from Passaic. Rav Sachs, he said a very nice, because that's the pshat, that on Purim, you have to show it's all one story. So when you start reading the first pasuk, the last pasuk is already open to show you it's all one story. Every detail in the beginning is linked up to the end. Everything at the end is linked up to the beginning. It's all one unit, and that's why you dafka unravel the whole thing before you start to show it's one big picture. Every detail fits together. Now the Megillah is not just called an Igaret; it's also called a Sefer. The Gemara has a discussion that because a Megillah is called an Igaret and called a Sefer, it has to be made in a certain way. In some ways, it's made like a Sefer. A Sefer is something that lasts forever, like it's very tightly bound up. And in some ways, it's like an Igaret. That's what the Gemara says. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said a very simple vort. He said a very powerful but simple vort. That's the idea. Superficially, the Megillah is an Igaret. It's a letter, nothing special. But in reality, it's a Sefer. Its import lasts forever. Its lessons last forever. It teaches us Hashem is always there. That's exactly the depth of what it's the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Yotes. It's an Igaret and a Sefer. Superficially, you read the words, it's a letter, it's a long email, it's an interesting article in a newspaper. But really, it's a Sefer. And it lasts forever, and the message goes on and on. That's a nice shot, Igaret and Sefer. Next, number 14. You can't read the Megillah out of order. You're not Yotze. That's the halacha. Let's say you read the third chapter first, then you go back and read the first two prakim, you're not Yotze. Some other things you are Yotze on, to read out of order. Let's say you read Shema out of order. You're Yotze. For some reason, you read the whole Bahayim Shemoa before Vayahafta. You're Yotze. Megillah is not different. Why? There's a fabulous set of Sfarim called Hegyone Halacha. You've heard of them? Rav Mirsky, Shlita? Hegyone Halacha. They're great Sfarim. Combination of Halacha and Hashgafa. Very, very, he used to teach it. Hegyone Halacha. You know, you've seen Hegyone Haggadah? Great Sefer? So that's the same person wrote. That's it. He points out, this is the pshat. How come the Megillah can't be read out of order? Because it's Nes Nister. There's a flow to the story. There's an order, the beginning, the middle, and the end. As we discussed in the previous class, every detail fits in perfectly. And that's why it must be read in order, because when you're discussing Nes Nister, the order matters. It has to be, this happened first, this happened second, etc. Okay. There's the famous vort that of Yom Kippurim. This vort is quoted in the Zohar. And Yom Kippurim, that Purim is compared to Kippurim. You sure heard that before? That's a famous vort from the Tikkuni Zohar, that Yom Kippurim is Yom Kippur is like Purim. There's some connection between Purim and Yom Kippur. That's a famous vort. The Zohar says it. The Tikkuni Zohar. The Arizal says it. What's the pshat? There are a dozen pshat into that. So the Gra says, the pshat is, they're both days of Matan Torah. Purim is Yom Matan Torah, we discussed Kimu V'Kiblu. And how is Yom Kippur a day of Matan Torah? How is Yom Kippur a day of Matan Torah? We received the second Ruchos on Yom Kippur. That's what the Gemara says at the end of Tainus. So just like Purim is a day of Matan Torah, Yom Kippur is a day of, that's the famous Gra. So now, we can go even deeper. This is a very beautiful, deep idea. Those of you who take Beis Halevi know that the Beis Halevi has a whole chiddush that what type of Torah was created on Yom Kippur Torah? Shebaal Peh. The Beis Halevi writes, the Beis Halevi was Avsavitch's great-grandfather. The Beis Halevi writes that by the first Luchos there was a miracle and the whole Torah was written on the Luchos. Torah Shebaal and Torah Shebaal Peh. And by the Luchos Shnios, Hashem made a change, and he explains why, that the Luchos were Torah Shebaksav, and the rest was Torah Shebaal Peh. So what was the new Torah that was given to us on Yom Kippur, Torah Shebaal Peh. And as we said earlier, Purim is the Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh. So this word of the Gro, which is deep, now becomes even deeper. That Purim and Yom Kippur are both days of Matan Torah, of which type of Torah? Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's fabulously exciting. The Beis Halevi says that by the first Luchos, there was a miracle, and the entire Torah and Torah Shebaal Peh was written on the Luchos. And that changed by the second Luchos. There was only this Eretz HaDibros, and everything else was Torah Shebaal Peh. So the concept of Torah Shebaal Peh, as we know it, that fits beautifully. Next, the Sfarim point out Hashem's name is hinted at in the Megillah twice. Hashem's actual name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, in two places in the Megillah. This is, what I'm quoting now is in Hegyoni Halacha, Chelot Beis, page 174. There are two psukim where Hashem's name is hinted at in the Megillah, you know, using the first letters of the words or the last letters. In Parakei Pasuk Dalet, the Megillah says, Yavo Hamelech V'Haman Hayom. So the first letters of those four words spell Hashem's name. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Later, in Parak Zion, the Megillah writes, Ki Chalsa Ela Para. Haman saw that the end was there. The last letters of these four words is Hashem's name. So the Mefarshim say, Rav Mirsky quotes, this is when Haman's at the peak of his power. When Esther invited Haman to the second party, then, Esther likes me, the king likes me, I'm all powerful. Haman's greatness, the beginning of the word, is from Hashem. Then Haman's finished, he's defeated, he's about to be killed, his life is over. The end of these four words is also Hashem. That's Purim. Haman's greatness, Haman's demise, it's all from Hashem. That's the Nes Nistra, that's not bad. Not bad means good. That's the Nes Nistra of the Megillah, that the top to the bottom, everything is Nes Nistra from Hashem. I'll do one more point, then we'll discuss the message. Okay. The Gemara says that we read the Megillah twice, at night and by day. There's a big machlokas. Do you say Shechiyanu again in the morning? Ashkenazim do and Sfaradim don't. It's a big machlokas. The Rambam says you don't. Tosfos says you do. Ashkenazim are used to saying Shechiyanu in the day. In other words, when you read the Megillah in the morning, so you say the bracha of Amikra Megillah. You say the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. Do you say Shechiyanu again? So Ashkenazim do and Sfaradim don't. Okay. Why should Ashkenazim say it again? You did the mitzvah last night. So Tosfos says, because the reading of the Megillah in the day is the ikkar. It's the main reading, is the day. So therefore, when you read the Megillah in the day, it's the new mitzvah. Last night was the first time you did the regular reading, and in the morning, it's the first time this year you're doing the new, improved. The ikkar reading is today, so you make a new Shechiyanu. Okay. Why is the day reading more primary than the night reading? So it's interesting. The Gemara says you read the Megillah by day, Chayav Likrosa Bayom Uli Balayla Ulishanosa. Ulishanosa Bayom. Lishanosa means to review. It's very interesting. To review it during the day. So the Mefarshim on the Gemara say, the Netziv and the Sfasema says, that's the idea. The morning reading is supposed to be a review of the night reading. And that's why it's more primary, because the second time you read it, it talks to you more. That's what they say. So I thought, my own little idea, I asked Rav Nevensol's son today, he said, Yefemo'od, so I was very excited. I thought as follows. If you're working with Nes Nigla, you read Nes Nigla, oh my gosh, you're blown away totally. By Nes Nister, you only appreciate how the whole Megillah fits together when you get to the end. So once you understand how every part of Perek Aleph and Beis help save Am Yisrael and Perek Yud, so when you get to the end, you appreciate the first two prakim more. So tomorrow, when you read the Megillah again, and you read the first two prakim, you have a better appreciation of the Megillah reading. It's a very nice pshat, I think. We discussed in the previous class all the Nei Tzitzis in the Megillah. It all fits together. Now that you know that, so when you read it the second time, oh, it all fits. So the first time you read, I see that the first two prakim say help in the last four prakim. Once you've read it once, then when you read it again, oh, now I appreciate the first two prakim. So when we're talking about Neis Nister, my appreciation of the Megillah is heightened when I'm reviewing it for a second time. We discussed Purim is Yom Tov of Neis Nister, everything fits. Purim is also the day of Matan Torah, even that fits. What is the connection between Neis Nister and Kabbalas HaTorah? So I mentioned again a very beautiful word from Rabbi Sacks, beautiful word. He said as follows, if one really believes in Neis Nister, that means Hashem governs the world. Hashem governs what happens in Egypt. He governs what's happening in Libya. He's governing what's happening in Bahrain, whatever. Hashem runs the world. Okay. Yeah. But Hashem doesn't only run the world in Egypt and Bahrain and Libya. He also runs our lives. That's Neis Nister. Person wakes up and they're healthy in the morning. That's a Neis Nister. Person has a Parnassa. That's a Neis Nister. Person has a house to live in. That's a Neis Nister. Hashem runs everything. If a person really, really believes in Neis Nister, then a person would say to himself, I better make sure I do my part that Hashem will treat me well. And we know the Torah tells us, if you want Hashem to treat you well, you have to serve through the mitzvahs. So if a person really absorbs the message of Neis Nister, this is a beautiful pshat, naturally, that should lead to a rededication to the Torah. That's what Rabbi Sacks said, that Neis Nister and a full appreciation of Neis Nister should naturally lead to a rededication to the Torah. Hashem says, if you do the mitzvah, I'll reward you. If I believe that my entire life is governed by Hashem, I better do the mitzvahs. It's very nice. I have to go to work. I make my shadwas, get a good education, get a good job. You have to do that. But I better keep the mitzvahs. I better keep the Torah. Because Hashem says that how I govern your personal life, the Derech Neis Nister, is dependent on how well you keep the mitzvahs. So that's why it fits perfectly that Neis Nister of Purim blends with the Kabbalas HaTorah on Purim, and all of us should learn these lessons and appreciate the Neis Nister and rededicate ourselves to the Torah as we are entering the Purim season.